Good evening, friends, and welcome once again to another edition of Answer the Call. My name is Brother James, and I will be sitting in once again this evening for Pastor Curtis McMiller. I'm honored to be here tonight with all of you who have set this as a time apart to listen to and study God's love letter to mankind, the Holy Bible. Tonight's message is a special one, friends, and we will continue on in our ongoing series of studies in the book of James in a few short weeks. But tonight, friends, as we look forward to saying goodbye to 2024 and hello to 2025 in a few short days, the Lord has laid something a bit different upon my heart. As this is traditionally a time of introspection and self-review, I would like to speak on that wise this evening, amen? Friends, many people take this as a time to take stock, plan for the future, and to set goals and resolutions they aspire to obtain or complete in this, the next chapter of their lives. Some may plan career changes. Some may set themselves to spend more time with family and friends. Some may set financial goals. But tonight, friends, we're going to consider what those who would call themselves Christians should count and assess at this, the closing of one chapter and the opening and beginning of a next. We're going to speak to some of those things over the next two broadcasts, friends, in a message I'd like to call The Old Account and the New Ledger. If you have your Bibles handy, and I pray you do, join with me in the book of Luke. Yes, the book of Luke, looking at chapter 12, looking at verses 15 through 21. We understand here, friends, our Lord is speaking to a people who had gathered to hear him teach. When one of those who had gathered asked our Lord to intervene in a dispute regarding an inheritance between his brother and him, Jesus rebuked this man, saying, "Who made me a judge or divider over you?" Interestingly, echoing the reproof spoken to Moses after he slew the Egyptian back in Exodus chapter 2, verse 14, he then opened his mouth and spake the following, as it is written in Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Beloved, God was not angry with this man because he was successful. Neither was it because he was thrifty. No, friend, I believe God was wroth with this man because he considered not the plight of anyone else. He considered not the widow or the orphan or any who had great need, nor gave he any thought to provide a greater offering to the temple. Beloved, God desires mercy over sacrifice, but this man considered neither, in a show of thanklessness to the bounty that God had allowed him to gather. So the ease of life that this man put his full trust and faith in would bring him no comfort, no rest, and no reward. Just as so often today, the world and the worldly, as well as many Christians, get caught up in the notion that financial prosperity is the best metric for measuring success. And from that worldly perspective, this would be hard to dispute. But friends, those who would call themselves Christians would do well, I think, to consider not those things which are even now passing away, rather those imperishable things and the kingdom which is to come. Amen? I know that for many, the last few years have been difficult. For some of us, we've had to learn to either make do with less or make more financially conservative choices. But friends, I believe this was a needed wake-up call. Yes, I believe that as we have seen prices upon housing and daily staples increase to historically high levels, while at the same time seeing luxury goods and electronics sink to historically low, a fundamental truth was made very clear. Our priorities as a people have gone astray. That we would be more concerned with funding global conflict than providing for the tables of our own people shows the wickedness of men's hearts that is on full display currently in our culture. High style is more sought after than high sustenance, and many seek more diligently after trivial pleasure rather than those things which are good, honest, and true. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must take care that we set our hearts not upon worldly things or accumulating an abundance of worldly riches while neglecting our spiritual storehouses. I'm reminded of our Lord's word given to the church of Laodiceans, found in Revelation 3, picking up in verse 17 through 19. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. For as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I fear, friends, that in most of our churches had fallen asleep for many years in this country, gradually shifting their stance from one that is founded upon the Word of God, oh, how firm a foundation, to moving instead out upon the shifting, sinking sands of modern popular sensibilities. But now, as the evils in our world have become undeniable, unabashed, and unashamed, we are beginning, I believe, to witness an awakening, a return to values more in line with holy and divine counsel. But such an awakening will require that more Christians step up and step forward, committing themselves to the service and ministry of their local New Testament churches. If we desire to see our churches revive again, men and women are going to have to press on and step up into positions of teaching, evangelizing, discipling, study, and prayer. A people are needed who desire to see God's hand at work and who are willing to demonstrate faithfulness, maturity, and a solid biblically based foundation, and who are willing to bear the responsibilities those positions entail. I know, friends, at the church I attend, we have seen more first-time visitors this last year than at any time in our nearly 25-year history of our little Baptist church. And I know we are not alone. Many churches are seeing an increase, and while some have come and some have gone, I believe this evidence that more people are being made aware of those things that most of the world seek after are not beneficial or good to our body, spirit, or nation. And while some may become offended by the word as it is preached from the pulpit of any solid fundamental Bible-believing church, the ones who linger and are willing to examine and expose any offense they feel to the illumination provided by the Holy Scriptures soon come to understand that the preaching that is given is done so in the spirit and power that is referenced over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, which states, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Such scriptural-based preaching and teaching should stir in our hearts the desire to present ourselves for service, as Paul writes in the first 8 verses of Romans chapter 12. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, though through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministerings, or he that teacheth, on teaching, or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do so with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that sheweth mercy, with cheerfulness." Beloved, as we consider the closing out of our 2024 accounts, I ask, how do these ledgers in the old account of 2024 look in your book? I believe firmly based upon many scriptural evidences that it be God's desire that the people who would call themselves by his son's holy name be gathered in together, working in one heart and accord to do those acceptable works this side of heaven to reveal and turn hearts unto repentance and restoration. As the prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Amen. And we must do so with the knowledge that such works show a zeal and fire for the Lord, that God himself has promised reward, not with earthly riches, but rather heavenly ones. If you count yourselves amongst the saved tonight, friends, are you involved in the ministries of your local New Testament Bible-believing church? If not, what is preventing you? God needs men and women who are willing to do their part to step forward into ministry as leaders, as assistants, as servants. I know if you have a willing spirit, God can and will work wonders in you and through you. If you happen to be unsaved tonight, or have struggled or have lapsed in your commitment to God, beloved, now is the perfect time to move forward, beginning to stockpile those incorruptible treasures. It is the perfect time to consider what changes you would make considering your old account as the ledger opens fresh in the new year. Beloved, what will you put your stock and faith in? The things of this world, or of that which is to come and may perhaps be closer than we might think? Well, we will finish this up next week, when we're going to examine several attributes or traits one should seek to desire and develop if they truly wish to be transformed and revitalized in the spirit and in service. What about it, friends? Tonight, are you willing to step forward by faith? Are you willing to resolve within yourself to work harder to stockpile those heavenly blessings in this coming year? Are you willing to participate in the ministries of your local church that you might be blessed by the Lord and have opportunity to bless or encourage others? Are you, friend, willing to answer the call?